This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In today's world, women are often misused. As we can see, throughout the world, cultures do indeed oppress and sometimes abuse the women of their society. Domestic violence, it's a terrible scourge within our families. It knows no boundaries of culture, and the children, well, sadly, they are the ones that suffer the greatest. Over the centuries and throughout mankind's history, women have been misused in a variety of ways. They have often been exploited in fashions that can only be described as deplorable and heinous. Yes, they have been tragically taken advantage of due to their vulnerabilities and perceptions they are physically weaker. But women have indeed suffered much down through history. And yet, we're told, God made them both. He created them, male and female, equal in potential, gifted in special ways for complementing, to be a helper and to nurture at home. So, what are we missing? Why is there so much confusion as to a woman's purpose and place in life? And most importantly, her relationship to her male counterpart. These are questions we intend to explore as we attempt to answer just what is a woman's place.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding.
Well, welcome to another Armor of God episode. I'm your host, Adrian Davis, and I'm just reading an article here. The headline is, "Today's feminists are unappealing because they no longer fight for women's choices." This is by Sandra Clark, and she writes, "The feminist movement in America began as a fight for political suffrage, that is, the right to vote. It began as a fight for political suffrage, economic independence, and personal autonomy. Now, almost a century after the 19th Amendment was ratified, many so-called feminists or feminist lobbies and leaders no longer promote the political interests of women. Instead, they promote leftist policies, or that is, Marxist policies. What I want to talk to you about today is really an appeal for all of us to be clear on the right role of women. What is the right role for women? What is a woman's place? Why? Why is this important? Really because God holds out a big vision for us that revolves around the role of a woman. In fact, the woman or the wife is a metaphor for God's plan. And the way metaphors work is God gives us something that we understand and know to help us better grasp something that we don't understand and we don't know. And so the metaphor is really a bridge to that deeper understanding. We need to be clear because ultimately mankind's future is to be in that role of the bride of Christ. If you're a Christian, if you are a true follower of Christ, your ultimate destiny, and my ultimate destiny, is to be a bride for Jesus Christ. Now, before I get too far into this topic, I want to make sure that I offer you this week's literature, because it will go into a far more detail than I can go in here. I'm just going to scratch the surface. But if you ask for these offers, the first one is a sermon by me entitled A Woman's Place, and it will go into a lot more depth than I'm able to go into here. And the second is a sermon by my colleague and co-pastor, Murray Palmatier, and it's entitled A Man's Place. So first, I want you to listen to A Woman's Place, and then the complimentary message, A Man's Place, by Pastor Murray Palmatier. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Again, that's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can go to our website, cgi.org, and you can order the sermons there. Also, we have a brand new app that you can download at the iTunes App Store, the Google Play Store, or the Amazon App Store. Just look for CGI Digital Network, and you can download this information or these sermons immediately, as well as a whole host of Bible studies, sermons, all kinds of literature. It's a fantastic resource. That, again, is the app CGI Digital Network. You'll find it on the iTunes App Store, the Amazon App Store, or the Google Play Store. Now, this role of women in the world and in the church, the Christian understanding of the role of women, there's a difficult scripture. And it's in 1 Corinthians 14. And unfortunately, it has caused a lot of heartache, and I'll go so far as to say the oppression of women, because of a misunderstanding of this scripture. So I want to spend the time just unpacking this a little bit. And as I said, if you order the sermons or go to the App Store and download it, you'll get a lot more detail. But here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34, the Apostle Paul writes this: "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law." So many Christian churches have been set up in such a way that the women are seen as second-class citizens, and they are, for all intents and purposes, oppressed. And they're not allowed to speak in church because they're commanded to be under obedience. But is that what the scripture is really saying? Does this scripture tell us that women are to be in obedience to all men as sort of a second-class tier in the church and in society? Well, that's not what the apostle is saying at all. In fact, let's begin, we'll just unpack this a bit, but let's begin with the law. The apostle says that it's written in the law. So where in the law, that is the Torah, do we find that women must be subject to men? We don't. The word that is translated women here in the original Greek is the Greek word gune. And while it does mean women, more specifically, it means a married woman, a wife. So Paul is saying that the wives must be in obedience to their husbands, as also says the law. That indeed we will find in the law, in the Torah. First in Genesis 3 and verse 16, when God was sentencing the woman, he said here in verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you'll bring forth children." And then he says, "And your desire shall be to your husband, and he," that is your husband, "shall rule over you." So God was speaking specifically to Eve and said that Adam would rule over her. So a lot of people look at that and think, oh, men should rule over women. But no, this was a husband and wife, and God was making it clear that, much to Satan's chagrin, it would be Adam that would rule over Eve. Now also in Numbers 30, again in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, in Numbers 30 and verse 6, Moses writes, "And if she had at all a husband," so if she's married, "when she vowed, or uttered anything out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul." So here is a woman that has made a vow to God, and she has bound her soul to this thing. And Moses is saying, look, if when she vowed she was married, then look at verse 7. "And her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand. And her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand." But notice verse 8. "But if her husband disallowed her on the day he heard it." So he heard this vow and he's like, what? No way. You can't do that. "So if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect." This is the authority that the husband had over the wife. That even though she's vowed a vow to God, if in the day that the husband comes to learn of this vow, he annuls it, then the vow has no effect and the Lord shall forgive her. So this is what Paul is referring to when he says, as also says the law. And that's why he deliberately used the word gune and not, as we see in chapter 7, he uses another word for women, parthenos, when he's speaking of unmarried women. But back to chapter 14 and verse 34. Again, it says, "Let your wives keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, for they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law." So we've made it clear, this is speaking of wives to be under obedience to their husbands, not women to be under obedience to men. But what does it mean to keep silence? Well, let's go to chapter 11. We're dealing with the same author in the same letter to the same audience. In chapter 11 and verse 4, he says, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head." So what does this mean? We have to go back in time and understand that anciently in Rome, Corinth was originally a Greek city, but was conquered and then it was rebuilt as a Roman city, very highly trafficked city. And there was a Roman custom where the men wore togas, and when they got together, the highest holder of a political office would represent the body of men in their worship. And with the toga, he would take the toga and he would cover his head. And that was a symbol showing that he was first the highest ranking official among them, and secondly, that he would be their intercessor to the gods. And so Paul is saying, look, when you do that, you're bringing this politics into the body of Christ, and when you do that, the man is then dishonoring his head, which is Christ. Christ is the intercessor between God and man, and that man is dishonoring Christ when he brings that custom called the capita velato, when he brings, or the veiled head, when he brings that custom into the church, he is dishonoring the only intercessor between God and man. In verse 5, he then goes on and he says, "But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven." Uh-oh, same author, same letter, same audience. And if he's to be consistent here, he wouldn't say every woman that prays or prophesies. He would just say, let your women keep silence. But here, obviously, the women are speaking. They're praying and they're prophesying. And Paul is just putting in place the proviso that they should not do so with their head uncovered, because if they do that, each wife or each woman, a married woman, is dishonoring her head, which is her husband. Now, again, we have to understand the customs of the time. And in the Roman custom of the time, every honorable married woman wore a veil called a palla. And you would never see a respectable Roman wife uncovered. This was more something we would see with an adulterous woman, that she would be uncovered, and if she was found out that she was adulterous, she would actually have her hair cut off. And this is the custom that the apostle is speaking to. In verse 10, then, he says, "For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels." And many people are puzzled by this phrase here, to say somehow the angels are present and it might offend them, when in fact that's not what the apostle is saying. In James 2 and verse 25, it shows us that angels, or the Greek word angelos, can be human beings, they can be men. In James 2 verse 25, he says, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the angels," the angelos, the messengers, "and had sent them out another way." And if we're familiar with the story, these were Israelites that she had received, Israelite spies. They were human beings. And so angelos or messengers, yes, it can be in the angelic realm, but Paul was speaking of human messengers. And again, we just have to understand the custom at the time, where there were wealthy people that were interested in Christianity, wanted to know what the Christians were up to. And Christians would meet in a wealthy person's home that had a foyer that was open to the street. And so the wealthy people, rather than go and be seen checking out Christianity, they would send their servants to come back with a report. And Paul is saying, look, you don't want these people who are coming and looking what we're doing to look in and see all of these women, wives, married women, who are uncovered. as if they are harlots, and then go back with a bad report about Christianity. So Paul is saying, be aware of your social customs. So today we might think about, very specifically, how we dress when we come to services. And if somebody were to come and look and see a whole bunch of just unkempt people, what kind of a report would they go back with? Or if they come and they look and people are dressed as if they are truly honoring their God, then they would come back with a good report. So Paul is just warning them to be sensitive to the customs that might bring a bad report to the church. Back in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34, again, so let your wives keep silence in the churches. So silence cannot mean they can't speak, because same author, same letter, same audience, the women were obviously speaking. So what does it mean? Well, the Greek word here is sigao. And sigao, it does mean to keep silence, but more in the sense of yielding. It means when someone has something else, something to say, you yield, you give way, and you let them say what they have to say. And in fact, when we see this word sigao used in the New Testament, it's always coupled with a declaration. One party has to yield so that another party can declare what it is they have to declare. We'll see this here in Acts 12. In Acts 12 and verse 16, here Peter has been released from prison, and he's knocking on the doors of the door of the disciples where they are huddled. And Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. They expected him to be executed. And here he was at their door. They're stunned. They have lots of questions. And so they want to ask him all these questions. How did you get out, etc.? But he, beckoning unto them with the hand, to sigao, to hold their peace. Why? Because he has something to declare. He, beckoning with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And then he said, go and show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he left and went to another place. So he really wasn't interested in all their questions. He wanted them to yield so he could give them this declaration and then there to share that with James and the brethren. In Acts 15, here we see Paul and Barnabas. And in Acts 15, verse 11, this is to do with the truth going out to the Gentiles. He says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Verse 12, then all the multitude sigaod. They yielded. They had something to say. And so they yielded and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So again, we see this notion of one party yielding so another party can go forward with their declaration. And in verse 13, and after they had held their peace, after sigao, then James answered and said, men and brethren, listen to me. In chapter 14, same letter, same audience, same author. In fact, we're in the same chapter. In verse 27, he says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So now Paul is talking to the men. But if there be no interpreter, let him sigao. So the men, sigao applies as much to the men as it does to the women. If we just take the verse out of context, then we just come down heavy-handed on women. But here, actually, Paul is talking to the men as well, that they are to keep sigao in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first sigao. Let the first yield so that the second can declare. He says, for you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So you're not going to have this competition that if you're inspired by the Spirit, you will yield and let the Spirit speak through someone else. He says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And that leads into verse 34. So we're coming into verse 34 from verse 27, where the whole congregation, we can see, is subject to sigao. So it can't mean that the women cannot speak. So now we see, let your women sigao in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. And the Greek word here for speak is leleo, which means authoritative teaching. This is what is not permitted. So in the churches of God, you are not going to see a woman preaching authoritatively from the pulpit. But also, you're not going to come into a church of God and see all the women with duct tape over their mouths, and they're not able to use their brains, and they're just treated like second-class citizens. That would destroy the vision that God wants to hold out to us of the beauty of marriage, where husband and wife are working cooperatively together in pursuit of their destiny with God. In terms of the role of women and their ability to speak and teach, we need to look no further than Priscilla. In the same letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this time verse 19, Paul writes, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house." So here we have Aquila and Priscilla hosting the church in their house. And we see more about Priscilla in Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, where here we read, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures." So this is a man that was very eloquent, could speak well, and he knew the scriptures, and he was able to teach from the scriptures. "He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue." So this was a message that was not welcomed by the Jews, and people were put to death because of this message. But Apollos, he just understood Christ from the scriptures, from the preaching of John, and so he was speaking boldly in the synagogue. "Whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they both together took him unto them, and expounded unto him together, they taught him the way of God more perfectly." So he was mighty in the scriptures, but here we have a woman that was actually mightier in the scriptures. And she, with her husband, was able to teach Apollos so that he could be more effective. It doesn't say that she sat there with duct tape and Aquila did all the talking. So we just need to understand the rightful role of women. So when it says, you know, "I suffer not, I don't permit a woman to speak authoritatively," here we see Paul in the letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12, saying, "I do not suffer a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man." And that is the issue, that a woman should not be speaking authoritatively over the men. Paul does not allow that, but to be in silence. And then he goes on to explain that Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam wasn't deceived. Adam rebelled. He was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So she was deceived and ended up usurping authority from Adam. And Paul is saying we cannot repeat this. And he says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing," because of the prophecy in Genesis 3, that the redemption, the Redeemer, would come through her seed. So she shall be saved in childbearing if they, that is all of mankind — Eve was actually renamed Eve after Adam's death sentence because she was the mother of all living. So all of mankind that comes through her shall be saved if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So the role of the woman is a critical role for us to understand. And just through this sordid history of mankind, Satan has continually attacked the role of women. He has subjugated women, oppressed women, and also, conversely, we've seen women who are very loose and very authoritative. And all of this blinds us to the true vision that God wants us to understand in the relationship between a husband and a wife, and the role of the woman and the role of the man. In the book of Revelation, when we get to the very end of the book, there are two women. One woman is in Revelation 17 and verse 3. And here John writes that the angel carried him away in the spirit into the wilderness, and he saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having said 7 heads and 10 horns. And in verse 18 he writes, "The woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." This is the woman of usurpation. This is the woman that pursues authority and power. And this is what Satan wants for women, to be the offspring of this woman. And all mankind in the end time will either be following this woman or the woman in Revelation 21. In Revelation 21 and verse 9, John writes, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And this is what Satan is trying to destroy. He does not want us to understand this vision. He wants us to look at women, look at wives, and have no idea what God is doing. But if we will study the Scripture and obey the Scripture, we have the opportunity in our marriages, and I know many marriages are not this ideal. There's many abuse in marriages. But God makes it clear that the husband who abuses his wife, he will not hear their prayers. And so God expects us to fix our marriages. He says to women who are in marriages where perhaps their spouse is unconverted, that to win them over by your conduct, that build the godly character and do what God asks you to do, because God is seeking a bride for his son. Ultimately, all Christians are going to collectively fulfill this role of the bride of Christ. And so the more we understand experientially and through good role models what a healthy marriage looks like and how a couple work together, the greater our understanding of our ultimate role with Jesus Christ when he returns to the earth. In Ephesians 5 and verse 32, after talking about the roles of men or husbands and wives, in Ephesians 5 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul says this, that this, that is marriage, is a great mystery. It's not just a mystery, it's a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. It's not something we can understand quickly. It's going to take a lifetime of study to grasp this. And because it's such a great mystery, he ends the chapter by saying this, nevertheless, the fact that you can't grasp this great mystery, don't let that stop you. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, each one of you in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Paul is saying you might not understand this, but make sure you live it. Because in the living of it, the understanding will come. Now, I haven't had the time to go into the depth that I would really like. As Paul said, it's a great mystery. But if you will send for the offer this week, A Woman's Place, a sermon that I did where I go into much more detail on this, and also the complimentary sermon by my co-pastor, Murray Pommetier, when you hear these two messages, you will have a deeper understanding. Again, to get that literature, just dial 888-578-8791 or go to cgi.org, or again, the iTunes App Store, the Amazon App Store, or the Google Play Store. Satan is attacking the role of women with this feminist movement to obscure the vision that God holds out to us. Let's put on the whole armor of God and let's stand against the wiles of the devil. Until next time, goodbye, friends.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.